From Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. He then began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Our scripture this evening, also known as the Beatitudes, is one of the more commonly read and referenced scriptures in our Bible. And because of that, because it's so well known, I think there are two reactions that people often have to them. The first is to sort of fly right by them. We read them a lot. We might have memorized them as a child, but when it comes to actually living them out, we see all this stuff about being poor in spirit and meek and pure in heart and peacemakers, and we think, well, I can never do that. So I'll just move on from this passage as quickly as possible. Now, the other view that is often taken of the Beatitudes is pretty much the opposite. And that's that we almost take it too slow. We think, well, I really need to be more meek and more pure in heart and more merciful so that I can get blessed and I can get all of these promises. Now, that isn't really a bad view, except that, well, to be honest, these things are really hard to do, and some are even downright undesirable. After all, who here wants to mourn more, or be persecuted more, or be more reviled by others? And on top of that, I'm not sure that trying to be more of these things is really the point of the Beatitudes at all. Now, in order to figure out what the point of the Beatitudes might be, I used a tool this week that I learned all the way back in elementary school. And that's that when you're reading something, if you want to know what it's about, you should look for key words that are repeated throughout what you're reading. And doing that, I quickly discovered the key word in our scripture is blessed. So I think that it might be best this evening that instead of either flying by the Beatitudes thinking we can never live up to them, or spending a long time thinking exactly how to live each one out, that instead maybe we should talk about being blessed. Because I actually think we have a hard time with the Beatitudes, because we have a really poor understanding of what it means to be blessed. Sometimes blessed gets translated as happy, which isn't really wrong, but the problem is that blessed doesn't mean happy in the same sense that we often think of as happiness. Being blessed isn't a guarantee that our lives are going to be easy. It doesn't mean that we're going to be wealthy or prosperous or live a life of luxury. Being blessed does not mean that life is all happy-go-lucky. And we struggle with that, I think, because we want to be happy. We even think that we should be happy. And so we think, well, if we can just be blessed, then we'll be happy. And everything will be good. So we think, well, church will make me happy, or following Jesus will make me happy. But any of you who have been part of the church and follow Jesus and yet still have been unhappy, which I think is just about every single one of us, will learn that being blessed isn't really the same as being happy. So if being blessed doesn't mean that everything will be happy and easy, what does it mean? Well, to be blessed means to feel like that you have someone's unconditional love and regard. Being blessed means it feel like you are not and will never be alone, that this someone will always be with you. So then being blessed by God means that we are unconditionally loved by God, that God will always regard us with care, that God will never leave us, that we will never be alone. This may not guarantee happiness, but it does guarantee love and presence and accompaniment on our journey of life, whether they're journeys of joy or of pain. And the most important thing to remember about blessing is that blessing is not something we earn. It's something that is given to us. This is why I think we get mixed up when we think of the Beatitudes as something we should just try to be more like. Because the Beatitudes are not calls to actions as much as they are statements of promise. For if blessing was something we earn, the Beatitudes would read more like this: be poor in spirit so that you may receive the kingdom of heaven and be blessed. Mourn so that you can be comforted and blessed. Be meek so that you can inherit the earth and be blessed. Hunger and thirst for righteousness so that you can be filled and be blessed. And so on. But that's not what Jesus says. Instead, what Jesus says is like this: you are blessed, and then when you are poor in spirit, you may receive the kingdom of heaven. You are blessed, and then when you mourn, you are going to be comforted. You are blessed, and then when you are meek, you inherit the earth. You are blessed, and then when you hunger and thirst for righteousness, you are filled. But the important thing here is the phrase, you are blessed. We are already blessed, not because we're so good at being meek and merciful and peacemaking that God decides to bless us, but we are already blessed because God has deemed us worthy of blessing just by being us. Blessing can never be earned. It can only be received as a gift. But the good news is that blessing is a gift that God has deemed us all worthy to receive. And I know this can be difficult for us to grasp, that God would bless us without us having to do anything to earn it. After all, we know ourselves. We know our faults and our failures, our insecurities, our weaknesses. And God knows those things about us too. So it can be hard to believe that God would want to bless us, that God would want to love us unconditionally, that God would always want to be with somebody like us. But hear this: God has declared each and every one of us worthy to be blessed. God has declared each and every one of us worthy to be loved unconditionally. God has declared each and every one of us worthy to have God always with us. We are blessed. This is important. After all, this is how Jesus chooses to begin what's known as the Sermon on the Mount, a long teaching that goes on for the next several chapters of the Gospel of Matthew. And I think that it's important that Jesus starts the sermon with blessing, because in the rest of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus asks us to do some difficult things. The Sermon on the Mount shows us that committing to be a disciple of Jesus calls us to change the way we live radically. Yet we must remember to come to all of this from a perspective of being blessed. And that means we're unconditionally loved by God, that God is always with us. And because of that, we can do these things that Jesus is going to be teaching. So then we must remember that we're blessed. That doesn't mean we're necessarily happy, or that life is easy, or that everything's always going our way. But it does mean that we're unconditionally loved by God, and that God is always with us. So then it seems to me that what we can take from the Beatitudes, if we approach it with the right idea, is that whether you're poor in spirit, or mourning, or meek, or hungering and thirsting for righteousness, or merciful, or pure in heart, or peacemaking, or persecuted, or reviled, or none of the above, you are blessed. God loves us no matter what. God is always with that. So take that with you this week. Remember that. Know that. Believe that it's true for you. And then this week, whether you're poor in spirit or mourning or meek or hungering and thirsting for righteousness or merciful or pure in heart or making peace or being persecuted or none of the above, receive and experience the unconditional love and presence of God. And if you need a reminder, stop and take a breath and tell yourself, I'm blessed by God. God loves me. God is with me. I am blessed. Jesus showed us that life of blessing in his teaching and the way that he lived life among us and the way that he healed and in the way that he gathered with his disciples on his last night with them. And he took bread. And he gave thanks to God, and he broke the bread. And he gave it to his disciples, and he said, take this and eat it. This is my body, and it's broken for each and every one of you. Do this in remembrance of me. And then later he took the cup, and he gave thanks to God, and he gave it to his disciples, and he said, drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, and it's poured out for each and every one of you, that you might receive forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me. Let us pray. Eternal God, we ask that you might pour out your Holy Spirit on all of us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, so that we might be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, till Christ comes in final victory, and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Christ's holy name we pray. Amen. Here in our church, we practice an open table of communion. That means we don't believe you need to be a member of this church or any church to receive communion with us this evening. We just ask that you come forward with a heart ready to receive the grace of Jesus Christ. We'll receive communion by intinction. That means you'll be given a piece of the bread and ask to lightly dip it in the cup and receive both elements at the same time. We do have a gluten-free option available if you prefer that. I'll invite Will Ford to help me serve, and then you all are welcome to come as you're ready.